Hebrews chapter number 12. I believe that's everything I was supposed to mention. And we're going to be reading about three verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. This is our last Sunday of the year this year. And so Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. Give you just a moment to find it. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's page 1303. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read beginning verse number 1. The Bible said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for the health and the strength to be able to be here. And we pray for all those that are sick and unable to be here. Lord, we have some that are traveling and going to be traveling this week. Lord, we pray for them. And dear Lord, we ask that you just have your way in the service this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us as thy people, Lord, as we face a new year for us, that Lord, we'd just get started off on the right foot as individuals, as families, as a church. Lord, that we might live our lives for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we pray you'd save souls in the coming year and even today. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to hearts and have your way. We'll thank you for all that you do. We come and we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's begin and just read verse number 3 one more time. Verse number 3, the Bible says this, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We'll come back down to verse number 3, but we're going to go back to verse number 1 in just a minute. But as we've already said, here we are at the end of another year and the beginning of a new year. And this is the time of year we hear people talk about New Year's resolutions. I have studied that out many times down through the years. You come down the new year, and you're going to hear a lot of talk about it if you've not already. People be talking about New Year's resolutions. And I was thinking about that. Kim said something the other day. She said, "We ought to make a resolution." Well, I really am not in a habit of doing that, writing it down, because, you know, a lot of times that's about as far as it gets. But we was talking about that, and I got to thinking about it. The word resolution, if you look it up, it means this, or resolve. That might be a word. There's a song, "I Have Resolved." What's that mean when you think about resolution or to resolve to do something? It means to have a fixed purpose or determination of mind as a resolution to reform our lives. You know, actually, a resolution is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. A resolution to reform our lives. And it comes from the word, or it's got the words in it there, purpose, to be purposed in something, or to be determined in something. The word resolution is not in the Bible, but the word purpose and the word determined, these are Bible words. We ought to have some purpose. We ought to have some determination in what we do for the Lord. I was doing some studying along these lines, and I found a website that gave the top resolutions every year. It said every year these are the top resolutions, I thought it was interesting. What do people say they're going to resolve to do this year? Well, lose weight. And I don't know if these are in any order or not, 1 to 10 or 11, however many I've got. But people say, well, I'm going to lose weight. Volunteer to help others. That's a good thing to do, and that's one of the top ones. Quit smoking. People say I'm going to get a better education, a better job, save money, get fit, eat healthy, manage stress, manage debt, or pay off debt. Well, I guess that's a big one, because a lot of people get in debt at Christmas, and then they say, well, now I got to get out of debt. I got to pay off this credit card or whatever it is. Manage debt. Take a trip. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Drink less alcohol. This is on a USA.gov website. So that's things that people resolve that they're going to do in the new year. Well, I thought about, as a Christian, what do people say they're going to do? A lot of people say at the beginning of the year, I'm going to read my Bible through this year. Have you ever done that? You ever said, you don't have to raise your hand, but you say, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through. And I say this morning, every child of God ought to read the Bible all the way through. Wouldn't you hate to get to heaven one day and you meet Brother Obadiah and you say, yeah, he said, there's a book in there. And you say, well, I never got around to reading that. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? You ought to read the Bible through. You ought to read the Bible all the way through. And anybody can do that, a young person, all the way through. I know a few years ago, Kim's mama, she's 98 years old now. And just a few years ago, she read her Bible all the way through for the first time. She was telling me about that. She said, I've never done that before. You're never too old to resolve to do something like that. And she read her Bible all the way through. Well, read my Bible. I'm going to spend more time with my family, with my children. A lot of times people will say that. People say, well, I'm going to finally get organized this year. I told Kim that this morning. I went over to my big pile of mess that I keep piled up there on her cabinet. And she's all time on to me about cleaning that up. And I went through and I found something. And she was looking at me. I said, I'm going to. I said, I'm going to get organized this year. I said, you remind me after church. Well, she didn't come, so she missed out on that. But anyway, people say, I'm going to get organized. People say, I'm going to visit more. I'm going to go visit somebody I've been meaning to. They say, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better witness. I'm going to be more faithful to church. And on and on and on. People say they're going to do these things. But I want to preach this morning on this subject. And this is worn out. But you hear somebody say, new year, new you. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning. New year, new you. Well, that's as good a time as any to make up your mind you're going to do something different. New year, new you, new you. And I want to give you some scriptural guidelines that'll help you if you've got some goals in your life that you would like to accomplish for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Some things from the Word of God that I hope will help you this morning. Number one, if there's going to be a new you in the new year, there's got to be some inspiration. Now, look here in chapter 11 in the Word of God, chapter 11, and we're going to read verse number 40. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 40, the Bible said, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, this in verse number 40, this they, that they without us should not be made perfect, this they that it's talking about is all these people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, there's a great many. We call this the heroes of the faith. All these people, and if you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, you know there's all these great saints of God. that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and all these great people that we know by name, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And look over in verse number 31. We'll just read about a few of them here. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and on it goes. And it talks about all these great people that we know about in the Bible. And you study about this list of people in Hebrews chapter number 11. There's men in there. There's women in there. There's young people. There's old people. There's Jews. There's Gentiles. You just got this great conglomeration of all these different people in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I believe these also make up the witnesses of chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The Bible is full of inspiring people. You know, they're in there for a reason. As we study the lives of the people of God in the Bible, it ought to inspire us this morning. Have you ever been inspired by somebody's life in the Bible? I know that I have. And really and truly, if you pick out anybody in the Bible and study their life, you'll get a blessing and a benefit out of it. I don't care who it is. Even if it's one of the negative or one of the evil people in the Bible, you'll still get some lessons on how not to be. But the Word of God is full of people that ought to inspire us. In fact, that's one of the reasons that God wrote it down and put it in there, that they would be examples unto us in our faith. I'll tell you, I've got a lot of favorites in the Bible. It's whoever I'm studying at that time. But down through the years, I've really got a lot of encouragement out of the prophet Jeremiah. Because as I study about Jeremiah, I see that he was very faithful to warn the people of God, and the people of God, they really didn't listen to what he had to say, but he was faithful anyway. That's helped me down through the years. The Bible is full of inspiring people that we can take their lives and glean something good from it and get some inspiration from their lives. History is full of people who have been inspired by people in the Bible. I really like to read about what God has done in the lives of other people. It'll help you. One of the most influential lives that I've ever studied and read after is the life of a missionary named J. Hudson Taylor. He's one of the first missionaries to go to the country of China. And just a pioneer. He went when nobody was going to foreign lands, but what great faith this great man of God had. If you'll find somebody like that, it'll help you. See, we are surrounded by people, and we know about all kinds of Hollywood people and people in athletics and sports people and all these things, but really most of them, their lives are not very inspiring. But I would challenge you at the beginning of this new year. I read something one time by a preacher, and he was talking about that he had a college professor that encouraged him to find somebody that they admired and looked up to and become a student of their life. And this preacher was a student of Jonathan Edwards, the great awakening preacher that God used back in the late 1700s, and he had just spent a lot of his ministry reading after and following after the life of this great preacher, Jonathan Edwards. And I'll tell you, that's some good advice to have. Find somebody that inspires you, that interests you, and follow after their life, and you'll get a blessing out of it. I was talking about J. Hudson Taylor. And when I was probably, I don't know, my late 30s, I read the life story of J. Hudson Taylor, and it's actually two volumes. But I remember in that book when he was a young Christian, and he was learning to walk by faith. And you know, as a Christian, you do that. You learn to walk by faith. And you need to learn what it is to really trust God when you have problems in your life. J. Hudson Taylor was working for a man. And this man he was working for, it came to the end of the work week, and he was supposed to get paid, and the work day was coming down to the end, and J. Hudson Taylor really needed to get paid. Have you ever been there? And his employer had forgot to pay him. And J. Hudson Taylor in that book talks about that he had a right to go and remind that man, you know, today's payday. And I know you're not on purpose, but I need to get paid. But J. Hudson Taylor talks in that book about how that instead of going to that man and asking to be paid, he said, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to ask God about it. And I'm going to learn to trust God with my needs. He said, if God can't remind him. And he said he learned through that. Well, what he did, he prayed. And sure enough, it got right down to closing time, quitting time. I think maybe they'd already headed out the door. And J. Hudson Taylor, boy, he really needed to be paid. And the man turned around and said, oh, I almost forgot. I need to pay you. And he talked about how that encouraged his faith in his life, that for the rest of his life, when he let people know, when he was a missionary, he just let God know about what he needed, and God was always faithful to supply. He didn't write and ask for this and ask for that. He just asked God about it, and God supplied his needs. And I cannot tell you down through the years how many times that's come to my mind. God knows what we need. Inspiring people, people that are inspired from the Word of God. If you're going to be a new you in the new year, you're going to have some inspiration. And we are surrounded, the Bible says, compassed about. Chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, they are everywhere to be found. I would challenge you in the new year to find somebody that inspires you and read after them and study their life. Somebody from the Word of God, some great Christian, and get some inspiration. We live in a day and time, people need some correct, proper, right inspiration in their lives. Find some. There's no lack whatsoever. You're going to need some inspiration. Number two, as we look in the Word of God, you're going to need some illumination. Now, it says in verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Most people are doing exactly the opposite of what the Word of God says. Instead of laying aside what they don't need, they're picking up and gathering unto themselves a lot of things that they don't need. Instead of laying aside every weight and getting sin out of their lives, they're taking more things into their life and more sin into their life, and it's weighting them down. You'll never see a marathon runner running a race with a backpack on his back. They get rid of everything that they don't need. Wouldn't that be a good blessing in our lives if we could learn to get rid of everything we don't need that's weighting us down? The sin in our lives that's weighting us down, there needs to be some elimination. I guarantee you this morning, every one of us could find some things we need to lay aside that's weighting us down. I read a book one time about hiking the Appalachian Trail. And I found a t-shirt one time that said, I crossed the Appalachian Trail. You know, it starts in Georgia and goes all the way to Maine. I think it's maybe 1,600 or 2,000 miles of the Appalachian Trail. And I found a t-shirt that said, I crossed the Appalachian Trail. I wish I'd have got it now. It's talking about sideways, though, not long ways. I've crossed the Appalachian Trail many times. But I read a book about this guy. And he took a summer out of his life and he hiked the Appalachian Trail. And in that book it talked about, now you start down in Georgia in the spring, and a lot of people, they'll hike halfway, and because it's such a long hike, they'll get halfway and then they'll go all the way north and they'll hike back down because of the weather, because it gets winter time early up north. But he told in that book how that it, when you start down in Georgia on the Appalachian Trail, that one of the first stops that hikers come to, now there's little stores and things right off the parkway, and businesses that just cater to people hiking the Appalachian Trail. And one of the first stops on the Appalachian Trail has a little niche business. This is what they specialize in. What they do, they make a lot of money mailing things back home that people decided they didn't need. People start out hiking the Appalachian Trail and they'll take four volumes of books that they're going to read on the way. And they'll take all kinds of gadgets and tools and extra clothing and extra shoes. But after you've hiked 10 or 12 miles a day for 3 or 4 days, you get to thinking, do I really need all this stuff? And that first place they come to, they said what they do. They mail stuff back home and telling about all the things that people have started out with that they thought that they had to have, that they decided in the long haul they's going to lay aside. Boy, wouldn't it be good for us this morning if we would find out the things in our life that we need to lay aside in order to run the race. I don't know what you need to lay aside. I don't know what your sin is. You know, sin is still sin whether the world acknowledges it or not. They still sin in our lives that needs to be laid aside. But here's the thing. Even though I'm the preacher, I'm the pastor, I don't know what you need to lay aside. I don't know what your sin is this morning, but you do. I guarantee you, you know what it is. If I mention it or don't mention it, I guarantee you, you sit there, you can think about some things that was weighting you down, that you just need to lay aside. Maybe some sin in your life that's holding you back that you need to get rid of out of your life. You know what it is. You know what? If I needed to lose weight, and that's not my thing right now, but you know a lot of times it is, but if I needed to, I'll tell you exactly what I'd need to do. I'd need to quit buying Bluebell ice cream. Because I can go all day and I can not, it don't bother me about eating or whatever, but about 9 o'clock at night, I love to have a great big old bowl of Bluebell ice cream. I love it. I told Kim one time, I said, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd try to get a job as a spokesperson for Bluebell ice cream. I love it. I really do. There's going to be Bluebell ice cream in heaven. It's the best stuff it ever was. If it's in my house, I'm going to eat it all up. I love it. I tell you, we know what it is in our lives. We know what it is in our lives that's holding us back, that's weighting us down, sin that's hindering us. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe the TV keeps you from walking with God. Maybe running the computer ever 15, 30 minutes to check Facebook's keeping you from walking with God, reading your Bible. It could be a physical thing. It could be a spiritual thing. Maybe you've got bitterness in your life. Maybe you've just got an old bad attitude in your life, and you know that's keeping you from being what you ought to be for God. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's really where you need to start this morning. Are you sure you're a new creature in Christ Jesus? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? If you died, you know for sure that you'd go to heaven. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're going to need salvation in your life, first of all. What good's all the rest of it if you're not saved? If a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what has he gained? He's gained nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God intends for you and I to have an abundant life. An abundant life, a blessed life. I didn't say rich. I'm not preaching health, wealth, and being rich and not having rough roads and hard times in your life. But no matter what you're going through, God intends for you to have an abundant life. A good life, a blessed life. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Sunday school lesson was good this morning. Did you read over there where it talked about if you won't forgive others, you're going to bear the consequences? You got unforgiveness of somebody in your life, you need to lay it aside. You need to confess it as a sin. Elimination. If there's going to be a new you in the new year, you need some motivation. You need some elimination, let us lay aside. Number three, you need some operation in your life. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and let us run. You ought to underline that. You need some operation in your life. Let us run. All the planning, all the good intentions that people have, all the many times they say, I'm going to do this. It don't matter if you don't run. If you don't do it. I read something last night, and it's hard for me to imagine, but I guarantee it's right. Said that 60% of gym memberships that are bought in January are never used. That means that somebody went to all the effort and all the trouble to go to a gym, find a gym that they wanted to join. They put their money on the counter and they took it and they said, I'll see you next week. But they never went back. 60%. That's a lot of good intention going down the drain, if you ask me. What good is all the good intentions that we have if we never use, if we never do anything? You know, there's that tennis shoe company. It's got the swoosh mark. If you watch any sports, you're going to see, you know I'm talking about Nike. Nike is everywhere. It's on clothes, it's on shoes, it's on football, baseball, golf. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's everywhere. They've got a slogan, and their slogan is this, just do it. It's a pretty good slogan. That's the slogan, that's their saying, that's their motto, just do it. But I tell you this morning, I believe they stole that from the Bible. The Bible said it first. Paul told the church at Corinth about their missions offering to be specific. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 11, Paul said this, now therefore perform the doing of it. What good is it to talk about it if you don't do it? You've said you're going to do something, now perform the doing of it. That means just do it. People spend their whole lives, I want to do this, I want to do that. People say, I want to take a mission trip. Well, you know what? You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to get organized. You're going to have to find one to go on. You're going to have to do that. People say, I want to do this and I want to do that. I want to read my Bible through. You're going to have to get up in the morning and open your Bible and start at Genesis and read your Bible through. You're going to have to do it. People say, I want to lose weight. I want to get fit. I want to get organized. I want to do a whole long list of things that people want to do. But I want to say this morning, do not get the attitude that it doesn't matter. I don't care what it is. You say some of them things you're mentioning doesn't have to do with the Bible. But I want to say this morning that if you're a child of God, if you're saved, everything you do matters. And the reason everything you do matters is that everything you do is an expression of what is on the inside. You know, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whatsoever ye do, whether ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Everything matters. Our society is in a mess because we have the attitude that so many things don't matter, but they matter. Everything matters if you're a child of God. I remember when I was growing up in school and we had PE and we'd get outside and man, we'd just play. We just play, and Mr. Isaacs down at school, he always had fun things for us to do. We'd just race each other. He'd have a start line, he'd have a finish line. 50-yard dash, 25-yard, whatever it is. And boy, he'd line up the whole class, and we was going to race. We was going to run from one end to the other. Now, I've noticed this. People that just run about 70%, that's how they live their whole life. That's how a lot of people are. And you'd always have about three groups when we'd all race each other. You'd have somebody, they'd run so hard, they wanted to do their best, they wanted to win. And when they got done, man, their tongue would be hanging out and they're breathing their lungs out of their head and they're holding their side. Oh, I'm about to die. Did I win? Was I first place, second place? And then you had some people out there, that's about 60, 70%. They'd run along like they was doing the best they could, but they really wasn't. They didn't want to get their hair messed up. They want to get sweaty and have to go back into class. And so they'd run along acting like they was doing the best they could, but they wasn't. And then you had some people, they just didn't care if they ran or not. They'd jog along. They'd walk along. Do you know what? That's what people done then. That's how they've lived their whole lives. Everything you do matters. It's an expression of what's down on the inside in your heart. And don't you get the attitude in life that things don't matter because they do. I've been studying over there, Proverbs chapter 30, Revelation chapter 3, Romans chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, about the last generation. And you know what I've discovered? The last generation that lives upon the earth is going to be the most uninspired, self-centered, uncaring, no goals, no care, nothing matters in their life, but they're going to think that they don't need to improve on nothing. Proverbs chapter 30 says about that generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. I don't need to do no better. But that's where we're at. I come home yesterday. I took Abigail shopping. Now I'm a good daddy. Don't you forget that. Because that was no fun for me. Wasn't even really shopping. She just had a gift card and we went to Hickory and we spent some time together. We did have a good time. But I sat there in one of them clothing stores and I thought, I'm just old as dirt. Young people are buying clothes that already have holes in them. And paying a lot of money for them. When I was growing up, maybe we didn't have much, but our mamas dressed us up, made us tuck in our shirt tails. All the boys wore belts and wore their hat the right way on their head. And if we got holes in our jeans, Mama said you can't wear them to school no more. Those are just play jeans now. Because once upon a time, things mattered more than they do now. Now you can go somewhere and look like a sloppy hog. And probably paid a lot of money to look like a hog. To look like you got your clothes out of a dumpster. Amen. Things used to matter. People might have used to been poor. But hey, they combed their hair after they had a haircut. Made it look nice and slick. Men used to wear hats. Look like something. I mean, things has changed. But the last generation is going to be the most uncaring, it don't matter generation that's ever walked the face of the earth. Well, to say, you say, what can you do about it? Not much. But I don't have to be that way. You young people don't have to be that way. You ought to act like something. You ought to look like something. You ought to talk like somebody. You ought to live like somebody. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. You ought to act like it. You ought to look like it. There ought to be some operation in your life. Let us run, the Bible says. So many people aren't going to run. They're not going to do anything. Let us do something. Let us do something for the honor and the glory of God. There's got to be some operation. Number four, there's got to be some determination. It says this, let us run with patience. You know, when we studied in the book of James, we studied about that word patience and how that it is related in the Bible to suffering and tribulation. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to tell you something about running this morning and exercising and even conditioned athletes, Olympic athletes, people who run marathons and things like this, all of them experience something that they call the second wind. You've heard people say, I got my second wind and I was all right. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how fit a person is when they first start running or they first start exercising. It doesn't take very long at all. Even if they run 5 miles every day, that first little bit, they get all out of breath and their heart starts beating and they get to feeling like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't know if I can do this or not. You know what that is? That's your flesh. Your flesh isn't interested in doing one good thing, physically, spiritually, mentally. Your flesh don't want to do nothing. You realize that, don't you? That part of a person that even though they're used to exercising or running and they start out and they get all out of breath and they say, boy, I just want to quit. I don't know if I can do this. That is their flesh saying, go back to the couch, eat some potato chips and take it easy. Don't be hard on me. That's how your flesh is. But if you'll have some patience and go through that first suffering there, people say, well, at first it was pretty rough, but I got my second wind. That's just telling your flesh, hey, you're not going to have your way. This is what we're going to do. And so your body gets in line and starts to give you more oxygen and your heart rate come up so you can do what you're determined to do. There's got to be some determination in our lives. You'll get a second wind. Your flesh doesn't want anything to do with anything good. Your flesh doesn't want anything to do with anything spiritual. You can say, and I've experienced this, you can say, I'm going to get up early in the morning this new year. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray like I ought to. And I'm really going to do it this time. And you start getting up early, you know what? You'll find out you're more sleepy than you ever have been before. If you're going to get up an hour early, let me give you some good advice. Go to bed an hour earlier. But you'll get up and you'll be so tired, you'll say, I'm trying to read my Bible. I can't even keep my eyes open. I can't focus on what I'm reading. I tried to read it and didn't get nothing out of it. I tried to pray and I can't think straight. I'm just going over the same things in my mind. You ever been there and done that? You feel like I spent this time and didn't get anything out of it. The phone will ring. My phone rang early one morning. It was another preacher. And I answered, it was real early, and I answered the phone. I said, hello. I thought something was wrong. He said, hey, and he's talking to me. And I don't know. I guess I wasn't as pleasant when I found out it wasn't nothing wrong. And he said, well, I thought you got up every morning real early. I said, I do, but not to talk to you. Well, you won't. I get up to talk to God. If I don't get up and read my Bible and pray and get my heart and my mind right, I'm not fit to talk to nobody else. I promise you that. Children will get out of the bed. Phone will ring. All these things will happen. Say, what do you do about it? Whatever you do, don't quit. Don't quit. You're going to have to be determined. If that's what you're going to do. Well, I was studying last Saturday morning before last. We had company. House was full. Chloe's running around, more commotion than most of the time. And I was downstairs at my desk and I was trying to study for last Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, there's just a lot of noise in the house. And somebody came through. I don't even remember who it was. I guess it was Kim or Abigail one, and said, how do you study with all this noise going on? I said, years of practice. Buddy, I can tune you out. If I look at you like I'm not listening sometime, I'm probably not. Because I got used to tuning things out. Because if I jumped up and quit every time there's a little noise in my house, I'm telling you, I'd never get nothing done. You'll have to make up your mind. This is important to me. This is what I'm going to do. This comes first, and I'm going to do it. I don't feel like I get something out of my Bible reading every time I sit down to read. I sat down the other morning and I was sitting there reading my Bible and Kim came in. She was reading her Bible and I got done and I told her, I said, I feel like I just rushed through a lot of good things. That's how it is sometimes. I don't always get out of it everything I'd like to, but if I don't do it, I won't get nothing out of it. You're going to have some determination in your life. Last of all, this morning, you're going to have a new year, new you in the new year. You're going to have some motivation. Now look at verse 2. He said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you'll endure, if you'll endure this morning, if you'll push through, if you'll have some purpose, if you'll have some determination in your life, like the Lord Jesus, John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. He said, I got to do what I'm going to do while I'm here to do it. Nothing's going to keep me from it. What a great example to motivate us. You'll be glad if you will. It said there in verse number 2, who for the joy that was set before him. Next year at this same time, you're going to be glad over the year? Or you're going to look back and be sad over the year? I like this in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. You ought to underline that in your Bible. The author and finisher. It doesn't matter how many things you start if you don't finish. Do you know that? Oh, I'm good at starting things. I won't be good at finishing what I start. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the author and finisher of our faith. We had our Christmas get together. I was talking with Brother Paul Wilson. We was talking about Preacher Carl. Preacher Carl passed away last year, and we was talking about him, and I remember this about Preacher Carl. He used to always say, I want to finish well. Isn't that good? He told me more than one time, he said, I don't want to let down. I don't want to stop on God in my old age. I don't want to bring dishonor. I want to finish well. That ought to be our desire. I want to finish well. I don't want the Lord Jesus to come. I don't want to die unexpectedly. I don't want to go out in the rapture and be my life be a mess. I want to be found faithful when He comes. There'll always be faith on the earth. There'll always be a remnant. I want to be in that. I want to be in that number. I want to finish well. Said in verse number 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If you ever really get out of your comfort zone of where you are, and you ever really get the place where you have to trust the Lord, that'll just mean more to you. Some things in life you just got to learn by experience. It'll mean more to you, for consider Him that endured, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. That means quit and give up. You know what? If you're not resolved, if you're not purposed in your life, if you're not determined, if you're not striving, if you're not trying to get better, do something different in your life, then all that we're doing is just existing, not living. If we've just got everything thrown up in neutral and park, just not doing, going forward, nothing, then all we're doing is just existing. I don't want to just exist. By the grace of God, I want to do something for the Lord. I do want to clean up that mess in my corner. If I could get that organized, maybe I could get something else organized and just be a little more efficient for the glory and the honor of God. Don't think it doesn't matter. Everything does. What about it this morning? It's a new year. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything. Well, it does too. Children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, Exodus chapter 13, read it when you get home. God said it's going to be the beginning of months. God said, I'm going to give you a new year in the middle of the year. And from here on out, it's going to be different. And it was. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm going to ask.